So there's nothing quite as helpful to bond with someone more than a road trip. If you want to get to know someone, if you want to spend time with someone, build a relationship with them, just get in a car and spend hours locked inside. Because there's nowhere to go, and there's nothing to do other than being together. And during those hours, you'll find yourself talking about things that never normally come up in everyday conversation. You'll find yourself sharing things that perhaps you've never shared with anyone before. There is nothing quite like the joy and the intimacy of a road trip. But as you're driving down the road, you can't neglect the road itself in the midst of the bonding and the intimacy. Back in 2012, I took a road trip with my friend Brad to Atlanta, Georgia for a youth workers conference. In fact, fun fact, this morning I woke up and I was on Facebook and it popped up and said, 9 years ago today, you posted, Brad and I arrived in Atlanta, Georgia. So this was exactly 9 years ago today, which is kind of a fun fact, at least to me. But we drove almost 12 hours each way down to Georgia and back. And during these hours, we talked, we laughed, we enjoyed getting to know each other more deeply. We sang because we were sleep deprived and we just kind of got loopy. But the whole drive, both there and back, the road was always in front of us. And as we entered the mountains of Southern Virginia, there was a big sign on the road that said fog advisory ahead. The sign was warning us of this potential dense fog as we came into the steep mountains. And it was well needed because there was a lot of dense fog. And so the laid-back, kind of intimate drive that we were just enjoying together suddenly changed. We suddenly had to be very alert for each other. The fog was super thick. It was hard to see the twisting mountain road. And so this kind of intimate drive turned into this time where we needed to depend on each other, to use each other's eyes. Road trips are great, but have their own hazards. And thankfully, the road is lined with these warning signs and speed limit signs, but also guardrails. And this is what I think John does for us today as we continue in our walk through the book of 1 John, this letter. We're coming to this, the kind of the halfway point of chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can flip there towards the back of the New Testament. Use your table of contents. It's a tiny book. It's hard to find. But so far, in the first chapter and a half, John has been giving us this growing sense of intimacy with God. He's been inviting us to this fellowship with God. More than a relationship, yeah, I know God, he knows me, we're in this relationship. No, he's saying a fellowship, an intimacy that we can walk with God. We can travel in close proximity with God. John's used these expressions to walk in his light, to let him lead us, to let God show us the way. We've been challenged to love God on this journey, to walk in God's ways, to love those that God has created, to stay focused on God and not be distracted by the world. And while everything John has invited us to in this fellowship has its challenges, ultimately it kind of sounds quite pleasant. To walk with God, to be with God, to take this road trip of life with God, where God is with me, God knows me, God is leading me, God knows you, God is leading you. That we're all in this together. It sounds somewhat pleasant to a degree, but then John comes here in the middle of chapter 2 and he throws up a road sign. He throws up a warning sign. Yes, this sounds nice, but be on your guard. 1 John chapter 2, we start today at verse 18. John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour." He says, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us." So John is setting up this invitation, inviting us to this intimate fellowship with God, this partnership with God. And then he comes to this point, he says, hey, there are two separate but very connected warnings. These road signs, these warning signs as you walk with God. He says, one, this is the last hour. Keeping with the road trip metaphor, he says, your exit is coming up. And then he says, the Antichrist is coming. There's some aggressive traffic ahead. Now, for any of us who have been in church for any length of time, we hear these warnings, and there might even be a part of us that gets excited. Ooh, this is that end time stuff. the last hour, the coming of the Antichrist. Remember, the John who wrote 1 John, we believe, is the same John who wrote the book of Revelation. This vision that God gives of the end of the world, the end of time, the coming of God's new kingdom. And we get excited. Ooh, end time stuff. This is how it's all going to end. But what we need to understand is that John's warning here is for the here and now, not just what is coming in the future. He says, this is the last hour, the Antichrist is coming. He's not talking about this thing. He's talking about now, today. The last thing that John said to us last week was that the world and its desires are passing away. All of this, he says, are coming to an end. And it has been coming to an end since Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. John wrote this letter to his original audience 2,000 years ago. And he said to them, this is the last hour. And 2,000 years later, it is still the last hour. The next big item on God's agenda of time is Christ's return. Jesus is going to come back, and everything is going to be set right. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. God will dwell with us, and we will be with him. So when John says, this is the last hour, perhaps we could actually update his words to say, this is the last few minutes. But his point still stands. He's trying to tell us we need to live with expectancy. We need to be living alert. It's not just a laid-back road trip to heaven. Oh, it's this wonderful life, and one day I'll be in heaven. He says the here and the now matters. Each mile that you travel in life, in this journey of life, it has meaning. This is the last hour you are living in. And he says we also have to be on the lookout for Antichrist. Now, in the book of Revelation, in John's revelation from God, this person, this Antichrist, is the one who comes to set up this world order, this new world order, the person who's going to lead people away from Jesus. We hear Antichrist and we think this is the opposite of Jesus. Right? Mirror image, opposite of Jesus. One commentator summarized it. He says, as much as Jesus went around doing good, the Antichrist will go around doing bad. As much as Jesus' character and personality were beautiful and attractive, the Antichrist's character and personality will be ugly and repulsive. As much as Jesus spoke only truth, the Antichrist will only speak lies. See, John talks about this Antichrist, meaning, ooh, this is like the anti-Jesus, the opposite of Jesus, the villain of Jesus' story. The problem is that's not exactly the case. Anti means opposite, but it doesn't just mean opposite. Anti also implies instead of. And so when we hear Antichrist, we really should be thinking of instead of Jesus. So as much as we say Jesus is good and the Antichrist is bad, what we actually realize is this is an instead of Jesus. The same commentator adds, he says, no, the Antichrist will look wonderful. The Antichrist will be charming and successful. He will be the ultimate winner and appear as an angel of light. This is the Antichrist, the instead of Jesus. John is throwing up this warning sign to us that yes, Jesus has an opponent. And we go, well, we know that. John already has laid out the dangers of walking with the world. Remember, he says, we are called to walk in God's light. He says, you remember, you can't claim fellowship with God. You can't say you walk in the light, but walk in the darkness. There's an enemy, the light versus the darkness. But this warning here is different. It's not just the enemy. He says the Antichrist will feel much like walking with Jesus. He's not, but he or she will feel like it. He or she will be an instead of Jesus. See, we're very quick when we hear this talk of Antichrist, we think, well, that's the end times. That person is coming, but right now I don't have to worry about that. But John's warning is exactly the opposite of that. This is the last hour. We need to be on our lookout for Antichrist. What did he say? He says, while the Antichrist is coming, many Antichrists have already come. See, we like to look for the Antichrist, the one that John's revelation talks about, this specific person. Yet John's point is that many Antichrists come today before the Antichrist. Many instead of Jesus's are offered to us in our world. Anytime someone sets themselves up as the answer, this is the answer to life. And you go, but that doesn't include Jesus is over there. This is an antichrist. This is an instead of Jesus. Anytime we're told the solution is found here, and it doesn't include Jesus, this is an antichrist. It's an instead of Jesus, the opposite of Jesus. And there's real danger here. John says you need to be on the lookout. You need to be on your guard. There are other instead of Jesuses out there. I mean, what does John say after he talks about this? He says, they went out from us. They came from us, but they did not belong to us. He seems to be reminding us that darkness can often come from very close to the light. Again, what did he say in chapter 1? If you claim to walk in the light, and yet you say you have no sin, then you're a liar. The darkness often can be found very close to the light. It's one reason that these instead of Jesus's can sound so appealing. John says they actually were part of us. They were in the church, and then they kind of realized they wanted something different, and so they left us. Yes, these antichrists can come from the world, but they can often come from within the church as well. They realize they want more than just fellowship with God. They want something different, but something that sounds similar. It's why they can sound so churchy and so godly at times, because they're an instead of Jesus. It doesn't mean that they're super evil on the surface. They sound a lot like Jesus. We hear people say, God just wants you to be happy. And God just wants you to be healthy. And God just wants you to have wealth. And we go, that sounds pretty nice. But that's not what God actually says. God says, I want fellowship with you. I want partnership with you. I want intimacy with you. And as you walk in intimacy, you might experience joy, but that's different than happiness. As you walk in intimacy with God, you might experience the richness of a spiritual life and devotion with God, but that's different than material wealth. God says, what I want is you to walk in my light and walk in my love. And so John is warning us we need to stay vigilant in our walk with Christ. You need to pay attention. The road, this journey of living with God has dangers. And it's a bit daunting. It's a bit overwhelming if you think about it. How do we know what is of God? That's why we like to define Antichrist as this opposite, this evil villain, because that I'll recognize. But when we say Antichrist is anything that's instead of Jesus, that sounds good, but is not Jesus, how do I know? As I was thinking about it this morning, I realized I kind of experienced this a bit in my own personal life. I have a twin brother, and growing up, we looked the same. And people would call me his name all the time, and it frustrated me. But he was an instead of Jan. But we looked alike. People couldn't tell us apart. Now you can tell us apart. He's not watching this morning. He has a few more pounds. He's got a beard. But this is the thing. He's not watching. This instead of Jan looks a lot like Jan. And if you're not careful, how do we know? And what if I slip up? What if I begin to look at an instead of Jesus instead of the real Jesus? So when we were driving through the mountains of southern Virginia, we had these dangers, this fog, the mountain, the steepness. But in addition to these warning signs, there are guardrails, these things that are designed to keep us on the road, from veering off the road. And so when we look at John's letter here, he's not just throwing up warning signs. He's also reminding us that God has given us guardrails. We get very concerned, how do I know if this is Jesus or instead of Jesus? And John says, don't worry, God's going to give you guardrails. He's going to give you things to keep you on the road with him. So what are these guardrails? 1 John 2, starting at verse 20, John goes, he says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. He says, we have an anointing from the Holy One and we know the truth. Short version, you have the Spirit of truth. You have the Holy Spirit. God does not send us out on the road of life alone. He puts His Spirit with us and in us. The Spirit of truth essentially is serving as a guardrail to how do we live life with Jesus and for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is saying, stay here, don't swerve here. Walk here, don't go there. It's when we listen to the Spirit of truth, we stay in line with Jesus. Jesus himself will say in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will lead you, he will steer you. Now, it's not that the idea that the Holy Spirit shows us new and unknown truths. The Holy Spirit will come and tell you things that you've never known before. It says he will keep you in the truth, the true walk with Christ. He will remind you of these things that you know. It's interesting and somewhat confusing. When John, through the letter so far, he's written several times about, you know this. You know the truth. But in this case, when he says the Holy Spirit will teach you the things that you know, it's a little different. Elsewhere, he says, you know this. The Greek word is the word that means you've learned this, you've experienced this, you went to school for this. Here, he uses a very different Greek word that in English we just don't know how to translate, so we use the same you know. Here, the Greek word means you have this knowledge by intuition. Maybe we could almost use the words gut feeling. The Holy Spirit is impressing this upon you. You know this as the Spirit leads you because the Holy Spirit is showing you this truth. He's reminding you of this truth. And so when we encounter an idea or a person that we say, this seems good. This seems pleasant. This seems kind of like Jesus. Is this an antichrist? Is this an instead of Jesus? John says, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of truth. Turn your attention to him and say, Holy Spirit, is this of you? Is this from you? Show me your truth. Keep me on the road with Jesus. He continues to give us a very practical question to ask as a guardrail. 1 John 2:22, he says, who is the liar? Is it whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So the question we ask is, do they acknowledge Jesus as the Christ? Does this person, does this idea acknowledge Jesus as the Christ? John tells us that many of these instead of Jesuses went out from us, but are not of us. Again, they sound very churchy. They sound very godly. They sound great. He says, but they do not claim that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a very nice man. Jesus was a very wise philosopher. But he was not God made flesh. You don't need this Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. He's just great, but he's not God. If the person or the idea does not acknowledge both God and Jesus, it's not from God. It's an instead of Jesus. Again, pulling from several commentaries this week, they summed it this way. They said, oftentimes it is said, we all worship the same God. You have one name for him and I have another. But that doesn't matter. We are just talking about different roads to the same God because we all have the same God. Have you heard this before? Here's the question to ask in response. Was your God perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ? If your God was, then yes, we have the same God. If your God was not perfectly revealed in Jesus, then you do not have the same God as in the Bible. There are many people who seem rather spiritual or religious, yet they reject Jesus Christ. While their religion or spirituality may do them much good in this life, giving them a basis for morality and good behavior, it does them nothing before God. Because in rejecting Jesus, they reject God. We need God and Jesus. Do they acknowledge Jesus as the Christ? Do they acknowledge Jesus as God? Jesus will say it this way in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Jesus says, yeah, you did stuff in my name, but you didn't do the will of my Father. It's not just looking to Jesus. It's not just looking to God. True faith, the true walk in faith, comes with Jesus and God. With only one or the other comes an antichrist instead of Jesus. So how do I know if this is of God? How do I stay on the road? I ask the question, is Jesus the Christ? Is this the will of the Father? John continues in chapter 2, verse 24. As for you, see that you have what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. So what have you heard from the beginning? What should remain in you? God's Word. We need to remain in God's Word. The Bible has not changed in 2,000 years. What God said remains the same today. He's not rewriting it. He's not changing it. And yet so often we are tempted to look for new understandings or new words from God, new things to add to Scripture because we like new. We think new is better. New is not better. New is often an instead of. When someone says, this is something new from God, we go, yeah, it might actually be something instead of Jesus. John calls us to stick close to what God has said, to remain in it, abide in God's Word. And to be fair, John is not the only person warning of this. This seems to be a pretty common problem even 2,000 years ago. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing, and he says this, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different, and instead of, another gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And this is interesting. He says, even if we, Paul and the leaders of the church, even if we or an angel from heaven should come and preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. If Paul showed up today, like, oh, it's Paul. We love Paul. He writes a lot of Bible. If an angel showed up, we're like, oh, this is an angel. Look how they glow. Paul says, if either one of these show up and they start telling you something different than what God has said already, let them be accursed. We're so quick to want something new and exciting. And John says, no, remain, abide in God's Word. And therefore remain in Jesus and the Father. This idea of remaining or abiding in God's Word, it carries an active idea of living in Jesus. It's very hard to remain in something when you're just sitting passively there. I'm just going to sit here and yeah, I'm living with... No, remaining and abiding takes action to press ourselves in. When we actively seek to know what God has said and meet Jesus in His Word, we are resisting these instead of or opposite ideas of the world. We are staying within these guardrails that God has given us. He says, do you want to know how to know what is of me? Remain in my word. Know what I have said. One more guardrail we find in 1 John 2, verse 25. John simply says this, and this is what God has promised us, eternal life. John reminds us of God's promise of eternal life. But I think we need to understand here what he's actually telling us. Because we hear eternal life, we think that's the destination. We're on this road trip with Jesus. Where are we going? Where are we traveling? We are traveling to eternal life. That's the prize. That's the goal. If I stay inside the guardrails, I will get eternal life. Yes, eternal life has a very strong future component. It's eternal. It's everything out there in the future. But it doesn't start, eternity does not begin when we die. Eternity starts now. life eternal with God is not a heaven-only thing. We can have life with God in the here and now that extends into eternity. So we talk about, I have eternal life with Jesus. That is not a future statement. That's a present statement. Today, I am living eternal life with Jesus, and it continues forever. God abides with us now. God is actively in us and with us now. This is the promise we have of God. I am with you now. This invitation to fellowship is one that God desires. He is extending the invitation. He wants this intimate relationship. He has promised it to us when we walk in His light and love. Here's the thing. God is not trying to shake a branch of faith, trying to see who can cling on. This is the image I think we often have, is we're all little ants on a tree branch, and God is the kid who picks up and starts whipping it around, trying to see which ants can stay clinging on, survival of the fittest. No, God is holding this branch with us, clinging to it, and He's essentially wrapping us in duct tape. Here, let me help you stick on. He says, let me give you guardrails, guidance of how to walk with Jesus, to not fall into the temptation of the instead of Jesus. I am with you. He gives us guardrails. He says, we have His Holy Spirit in us. We know Jesus as God's one and only Son. We have God's Word, and we have God's promise. He wants this fellowship with us. And He set these guardrails of sorts in place to guide us, to help us stay in the light, to walk with Him, so that we can be with Him not just now, but for eternity. Now, over the next several verses, John's going to reemphasize these points. And so rather than beating them over and over again, what I want to do is actually just read them as John recorded them. And let God speak to us in these moments. To let John's words wash over us and to think about your life. To think about your walk with God. Are you walking in the light? Are you living in God's love? Or are there people and ideas that are pulling you to new ways of thinking instead of Jesus things? Is God's presence with you the one constant thing you cling to in life? Or maybe ask yourself this morning, am I ready to actually begin a road trip with God? I know about God. I've seen Him driving by, but I'm ready to begin walking with God, driving with God. So here's what John says. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as all that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit, just as it was taught, has taught you, remain in Him. Father God, help us to remain in You. Help us to actively walk with You. Holy Spirit, show us what we have known and know from the beginning. Jesus, remind us of Your word and Your truth. Help us to remain in You. John continues, he says, and now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. And so we pray, Jesus, help us to continue in You and with You. Jesus, may we find our confidence in You and not shy away from Your presence. Jesus, help us to know Your perfection, Your righteousness, and help us to know those who are of You. John says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, on you, that you should be called a child of God, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. God, how you love us. You have poured out your overflowing love upon us. You have called us your children. And you have given us new identities, children of God. Finally, we look at Jesus' own words in John chapter 15. Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus, help us to remain in you. Father, this morning we are grateful that you not only call us to relationship, that you not only invite us to this intimate fellowship, but you also open our eyes to the dangers on the road of life, that you put out warning signs to say, this is where you want us to be alert, to live in expectancy. God, thank you for providing guardrails, that you don't just put us into this world to flounder on our own, but you say, here's how to walk with me and live in me. Father God, we would ask this morning that you would help us to abide in you, to remain in you, to cling to you. And Lord, this morning, if there are those here this morning or watching online who maybe need to restart the road trip. We were walking with you, we've kind of jumped ship. God, would you show us how to get back on the road? That you are sitting on the shoulder with the door open and you're calling us to get back in the car, or maybe to get in the car for the first time. God, thank you for inviting us to this relationship, this fellowship, this intimacy, this partnership. Thank you for inviting us to a road trip with you. May we all get in the passenger seat and buckle in. May you open our eyes to see you at work in our lives. Help us remain in you. And this we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand and worship.